Funds the story of the success of. Hold on a second. Let's see if we can get this going this time. The success of Rockland County GAA is probably best known in Irish in GAA circles across America, and it's my pleasure to welcome, indeed, Paul Rowley from Longford and Emmett Woods from Tyrone, and to welcome to the program, indeed, the entire community of Rockland GAA. You're both very welcome, Paul and Emmett. How are you?
Great, Adrian. Thank you very much, and we're delighted to be on your show. It's great to be representing Rockland GAA here, and the next couple of weeks coming up to the weekend of our final and grand opening of the facility. And I know Onion yourself came up in 2010. You were very good to us, and very, we appreciate being part of your show.
Were you very proud? And I think I meant it when I said that right across the United States, the Gaelic Athletic Association have looked towards what you have done and what you started some 45 years ago in, you know, designing a template that actually works. The great difference is that you've done this without a scout of money. You've done this on a parochial basis, and maybe you'll bring us back to the beginning and how this notion came in the first place, when a lot of immigrants from Ireland gravitated up to Rockland County for a variety of reasons. Can you just bring us back to that?
Certainly, and you know, it's very fitting that you bring up that point, Adrian, because on Wednesday night here at the clubhouse, we invited back some of the past presidents, and we're very lucky to have the original founding past president, John Cawley, who was from Inniscrum in County Sligo.
Yes.
And it was John and a cohort of immigrants who founded the club in 1972. And we asked John, actually, just to refresh us about how it came around. And how it came around was a couple of immigrants from different counties in Ireland had moved up here to the county of Rockland, and they were involved in the AOH, and they set about putting a Gaelic football team together. And some of the guys said it couldn't be successful, and John Cawley felt, yes, of course it can be successful. And they literally went around in a couple of cars, picked up a bunch of kids, brought them down to the Bronx, and Laura Murphy and Paddy Markham, who was the founding member of the St. Barnabas Club and the St. Barnabas Football Club there, now known as Paddy's Field. That was the first official game, and there was maybe 8 to 10 kids that they brought down. And that's how it started. And it went in leaps and bounds from that. And, you know, we thank John Cawley for his vision, and Ed Shanley and all those guys, Tom O'Riordan back then. Because as Emma Woods rightly said here the other night, if the seed isn't planted, the grass can't grow. And, you know, the current generation, our generation, might get all the accolades for what we have built, but in actual fact, without the John Cawleys and the Tom O'Riordans and the Ed Shanleys, this wouldn't have come to pass.
Now, where most of the Cawleys and the founders, were they football players themselves? Had they, where did that impetus come from? Are these people, including, you know, some of you, were they playing, say, in places like Gaelic Park in the Bronx before the exodus up to Rockland?
Yeah, Adrian, Emmett Woods here. Yeah, most of them were players, but some of them weren't. Some of them just loved the Irish culture and how to promote the keep the Irish culture alive in America. But Rockland have been very fortunate that a lot of our coaches have been past
players, and that has really helped in our success.
When we go back to 2010 and we went up at the Metal Factory broadcast from your what was then the phase one, a full size football field, Gaelic football field, and another couple of fields as well. Just acquiring that land and developing it, that had to be done, you know, by yourselves. Did you get that land from the state, or how did that come about, the field?
Back in 1976, Adrian, those people that we talked about, the John Colleys, et cetera, they had asked to lease these fields from the state, and which they did, and for many years it was leased at a very small amount of money. The opportunity then became in 1998 when the state started to sell off surplus land. And Tommy Fennell was the president of the Rockland GA. Him and Terry Green, and amongst a lot of other of our committee members, set about purchasing these fields. And they weren't cheap. And in actual fact, it almost passed with a very slim margin whether the Rockland GA should buy the fields. But thankfully, everybody was prophetic enough to know and understand that if you own the property, you then can control your own destiny. And it cost a lot of money at the time to buy the fields, what seemed like a lot of money back then. Now people will say it's very cheap. But we were prophetic enough to know that owning these fields, and we see the hardship that, you know, the GA in New York has gone through by not owning their own property. And
absolutely.
Having to deal with the MTAs, et cetera, and so on and so forth at Gaelic Park. And we now, the GA own and control these fields, and that's what it's all about at the end of the day, and that everybody can play on it, and we don't have to worry about pandering to leases or anything like that.
Yeah. That was a great decision, and one that I'm sure many of your members, and rightly so, would say, God, where's the money going to come from? But you did go with the old adage, as if you build it, they'll come. At what stage are you at with the further development now that you're on to stage two? Emmett, let me ask you about that. What additions do you have, and how far have you gotten ahead with what was a wildly ambitious plan? You know, the sports complex, the state-of-the-art clubhouse, and the gym, all of that, to the changing rooms. Where are you at with that?
We're on the final stages of that right now. We have our clubhouse. It's 99% finished. We're just doing the finishing touches on it now. We're doing the painting and graphics and getting the furniture and everything in for our grand opening, which is going to be happening on the 7th, 8th, and 9th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in good shape.
It would be fair to say that after 4 decades later, the success of this has to do with volunteers. You've done it all yourselves, and that, I think, is a great feather in the cap. It is not, grants, including grants from the Irish government, have been very welcome. But that came in, and those grants came through after you showed the success and the commitment of volunteers. Isn't that the bottom line here?
Yeah, Adrian, I think you really nailed it on the head there. The impetus by the government at the time, Michael Martin was the Minister for Overseas, and along with Croke Park and the GAA, they saw that we were serious about this when we purchased the property. And I'm not quite sure if we'd have got the grant funding from both Croke Park, the GAA, and the Department of Foreign Affairs if they didn't see the seriousness of what we were attempting to do in the fact that we had bought the property. They knew this was a real deal. There was no smoke and mirrors here. We had the common interest of the game at heart, and we were forging ahead with or without grants. And the real accolades had to go to all the people, and I say in the Tri-State area, because we got tremendous support financially, particularly here in the local community of Rathlin, local-based contractors that work in New York City, really put the shoulder behind the wheel here. This facility that we have just finished is somewhere in the region of $3.5 to $4 million, the actual facility.
Wow.
And a large part of that came through donations, but also physical labor by contractors giving up their time and their men to build this. And for that, we're eternally grateful.
Paint the scene for us, though, when as this went along, because I think anybody who has been there are taking a first-hand look at the effects of the door closing of immigration from Ireland. Now you have the sons, and we could say the daughters too, of immigrants who have developed a very keen interest in Gaelic athletic sports. I know we're talking about football, but also in hurling. These kids and all of your kids seem like they're quite competitive, but in the true spirit of the Gaelic Athletic Association. It's not hammer and tongs. They seem to be very, very involved, and I'm sure that that leaves parents and grandparents, very, very happy with their interest, which could not have been there if you were relying on coming from Rockland County, say, down to Gaelic Park in the Bronx. Tell us a little bit about that. Emmett, give us a read on that.
Well, Adrian, Rockland they started with just boys' teams. We now have boys, girls, we have Camogie, we have hurling. We have up to about 750 children in the community playing the Aries games. And it's continuing to grow all the time. We've started coaching in the local schools. We've got a coaching officer in there to try to re-recruit. And we're really pushing the Aries culture and getting, because in Gaelic football and hurling and all, it helps the American children develop in other sports as well.
Yeah.
So it's a good training.
And for many of them, that becomes their main athletic activity. That's not an add-on anymore, because Gaelic athletic sports are very much recognized now throughout the United States. Yours is a success story. But coming back to you, Paul, the story of GAA sports across America indeed is it's like a moving feast or a moving statue. A lot of clubs are having great difficulty because a lot of those who came from Ireland and who had a great and a keen interest in Gaelic sports, many of them moved on, they've gone back, they didn't have the cohesive group like you have had, people spread out and so forth. Give us a picture of how Gaelic Athletic Association sports are now across America, say, versus 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
I think it's very healthy. I still think there's tremendous room for improvement. But the one thing I think that's very important to announce is that Ireland and the GAA have taken on board that their game is no longer domestic, that it's worldwide.
Yeah.
And they are using the likes of Rockland GAA, the likes of Shannon Gales, who are building a tremendous facility out in Queens, on board to market their game. And we'll take, for example, the Asian Games this year, that is held in, obviously, Asia. they had several thousand young Irish diaspora playing there. Throughout the United States, the game has come on leaps and bounds. And when I say that is, we had CYC, which is the Continental Youth Championships, the equivalent of FAILA that's held in Ireland, held here in Andrews Island 2 years ago in New York. And there was somewhere in the region of 3,500 to 4,000 kids that played around Randalls Island. Now, that's consummate to any lacrosse, American football, or soccer program. So it is really going forward, the GAA, throughout the United States of America and the rest of the world. And the GAA are doing a very good job marketing. Of course, you know, through your radio stations, through the networks, through GAA.ie, our computers, you know, that facility is now being provided to people to watch the games and provide that enigma to kids to get involved. Our job is to provide the facilities. And as we always said, build it and they shall come. And they're here.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah. I want to ask, actually, either of you or both of you, about traditional, if not animosity, the traditional reluctance or the branding that we have going up in Ireland is you choose Gaelic sports or you choose your soccer or your rugby or whatever else you want to go to, but the twain shall never meet. What is and how does Rockland GAA react to the fact that there is tremendous interest and world publicity, for instance, in soccer, in rugby, and how does that grate the nerves, say, of the Rockland GAA? Wouldn't if you were down in the local pub and if somebody put on a soccer match or a rugby match, would there be grumbling?
In answer to that, you know, the fact of the matter is the more than business, Adrian. Everybody always wants to fight for their corner of the market.
Right.
The GAA will fight for their corner of the market. But I think what's different than back in our youth growing up, where I know I went to St. Mary's College in Lamford, we were banned. We were banned from
playing
soccer. And that has changed. I believe that we work hand in hand. And as long as we keep, and particularly for us here in the Rockland GAA and the GAA at large, as long as we keep the youth at the forefront, that that's our only concern, and get rid of the egos about whether it's soccer or it's rugby. And it has been the mantra in the Rockland GAA since I got involved in it, and I believe from John Cawley's time, the mantra is take care of the kids. And none of these silly egos that's running around. It's unimportant at the end of the day, and you know that, and I know.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't preclude any of the. You can do it. These kids can do it without any stigma, and I think that's the greatest. That's the greatest advantage. Where do you go from here? And let's talk a little bit about your grand opening now. Which is coming up on that weekend, the first weekend in July. I think it's the what are the dates again?
Yeah, our facilities start on the 6th of July, which is a welcoming reception for the All Stars that are coming to play on our highlight game on Thursday evening. That's July the 6th, and then we run through Friday the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th consummation. Are opening on the night on Sunday evening with Aegon O'Farrell, the president of GAA, doing our official opening at approximately 4:30. Just jumping back a little bit, Adrian, I want to mention something that's really important. You're saying like what the facility in the future we can provide. Today, this morning, my 7M and here we're looking at our fields, and the activities that's going on currently is. The Rockland or the New York FAILA team that's traveling to Ireland on Monday to compete at the highest level of FAILA. They've been training and meeting here. The Hurling FAILA team from New York were here last night, and the girls FAILA team. So Rockland GAA Center of Excellence, what it's doing is providing a facility not just for Rockland, but for the entire tri-state area.
Absolutely. And considering
that,
considering that the opportunities, the facilities are simply not available in other areas, it works out well, you know, for those throughout the Northeast, many of them, you know, coming from not just your neighboring counties, but a lot of people coming, you know, coming down from the northern counties, Connecticut, New Jersey. There is something. It's a little bit like the airports, where in fact parking, the infrastructure, getting there, having a great fortune, a great welcome, plays very much into the success of what you're doing. You're at no point did you say, well, if you don't have, you know, a green card from Rockland County, you can't come in here. That has been fairly consistent from the foundation, right?
Correct, Adrian, and that's what it's all about. It's an open invitation. And even at the moment, Gilley Park is closed, no fault of the GA. It's because there's a new surface being laid down there at the moment by Manhattan College. And our facility is being used to continue the senior games and the junior games. That they might have difficulty in placing someplace else if this facility wasn't available. And it's just great to see on Saturdays and Sunday evenings now here, full-fledged senior games. Rolling on to the weekend, the Open, it's a huge celebration. Like I alluded to there on Thursday night, the All-Stars. We have 32 All-Stars coming from Ireland.
Amazing. Yeah.
Very high-end players who have played in the past. Running through the names, it's Graham Gerdy, Matty Ford from Wexford, Martin Comerford from Kilkenny, Andy Comerford from Kilkenny, Willie Kirby from Kerry, Tomás O'Shea from Kerry, Paul Galvin from Kerry, Declan Brown, Tipperary, Eamon Corcoran, Tipperary, Tommy Griffin from Kerry, Sean O'Gahalpine, the great from Cork, Ken McGrath, the great hurler, Shane McGrath, Darrell Canadia, Kerry, Dick Kirkin, and Tommy or Paul Finlay from Monaghan, Peter Canavan, also known as Dodd from Tyrone, Owen Mulligan, Tyrone, Oisín McConville, James McCartan, Brian McGuigan from Tyrone, Brian Dewar that lifted the Sam Maguire twice for Tyrone back in the north, Colin McFadden from Donegal, Aaron Kiernan from Armagh, Eamon O'Hara from Sligo, Kieran McDonald from Mayo, Conor Mortimer from Mayo, Frankie Dolan from Roscommon, and Declan Meehan from Galway. So a huge variety of names there, very diverse all over the counties. And that's the highlight of our weekend, but the amount of activities that have gone on is just amazing.
I know. What about social events now as well? I know that you have a number of dances, a number of gatherings, music, entertainment, and what are you going to do with these stars, the all stars from Ireland when they come out? How do you plan on recognizing their significance, or, you know, and making them, you know, say making this a very special event?
On Friday evening at 6 o'clock, the interaction between all the young kids and the All Stars will take place, and that's going to be in the form of a skills competition. So we'll be offsetting the All-Stars against the kids that are playing football, hurling, and camogie. And that's why in that list that I named out, there is both hurling and football players in there. Then that night, as a celebration, we have the famed Joni Madden and Cherish the Ladies. And we're hoping that these All-Stars will behave themselves at this event, and that they'll be in good nick for their game on Sunday.
So that's
the social side, interacting with the physical game itself, you know. On Saturday, we start off early in the morning at 9 o'clock with the Dennis McHugh Under-8 Tournament. That's 30 teams from all over the United States, from Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia, New York, 30 teams playing in that. And then At 11 o'clock, we have an all-star, the GA all-star, for an autograph session whereby everybody will can meet with the all-stars, get the photograph taken, get shirts signed, and
great.
Get to shake hands with the people that they saw winning All-Irelands and winning all-stars over the last 20 years and be able to actually reach out and touch maybe some of their heroes.
Yeah.
Big game then at 3:30. The fire department in New York is playing the NYPD.
Wow.
This is, it's always a special game every year. It's been held in Gaelic Park. Both departments are good enough to come up. And you know, Adrian, that comes with a massive following. And then at 6:30 on Saturday evening, we have the Rockland senior team is going to play a very special team that's coming over here from Clogher in Tyrone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a really special event because we've had so many people here from Tyrone and involved in our club and involved in all the clubs here in the New York area. So it's that's going to be very special seeing these boys from Clogher line off against our guys. And I'm sure there'll be no quarter given and no quarter taken either in that game.
I'm glad to know, your PR development officer, Emmett Wood, got his shout in there somewhere for his native Tyrone. Because, Emmett, yourself and myself know, these long for people, from once you let them in the gate at all, geez, they're very hard to keep them down,
They're very hard to get off the air, I know that, what I mean?
Listen, Emmett, let me ask you about information for those who want to learn more, those who can get a wad of information, actually, which we didn't have either. What's the best way to get that information, and how do people go about it, and how do they know?
You just go on to rocklandgea.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We're RocklandGEA as well. Instagram. We're all over all social media. We're on Facebook. We've got them all going. So on Facebook, it's RocklandGEA. On Twitter, it's at RocklandGEA. On Instagram, it's at RocklandGEA. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty well all over. We're pushing it, and we have a lot of on this weekend. We have a lot of not only did we do football and camogie and hurling, but we brought our culture and music into it, and we're having local bands and traditional music, and we have Kicking Nash and Whistling Donkeys coming from Ireland. We have the Narabacks and Gearsha, which are two Rockland Irish American bands. They're very well known, so we're promoting our culture in other ways outside of the football.
I think it says something very poignant about your success when you have so many people coming from Ireland, from entertainers to athletes to performers to many of those who, at a very difficult time because of the restrictions here in who to let in and who to let out, and it seems like this is that you are being taken very seriously by some of the stalwarts of Ireland. I think that's probably the biggest compliment you can get.
Well, I think the biggest accolade that Rockland got, and one of them was from the GAA, when myself and Paul and Mike Healy went to meet them a few years ago in Croke Park, and they asked us could they use our presentation as a club, as a template for all other clubs in Ireland to use.
God.
So that was a big accolade to us. And
it is, and also that there was many the long year, if not decades, where there was plenty of tension in this country in particular with the GAA and with who controls what and rules and regulations. But that seems to have you ease considerably, and, you know, you can take credit for your own part in that as well, is that, you know, GAA in the United States is not simply run from Ireland. You're very much a part of the of Ireland's Gaelic Athletic Association, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I'm also like just myself. I'm an officer for Rathlin, but I'm involved in the New York GAA as well.
Yes.
And I think in order to move the game forward, you know, rather than being a dictator and saying why do people do that and why do people do this, if you get involved and you become part of it, I think at the end of the day, common sense comes to fruition, and people can guide the ship in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where the New York GAA in general has come a long way, and I'm going to say in the last 10 years.
That's terrific. And I just want to throw in there, just for good measure, you have seating for 1,000 spectators. Is that project finished?
Yeah, we've actually enhanced that. We believe that we can accommodate anywhere between, well, I believe the proper number is somewhere between 3,000 to 4,000 people. Leonard Woods, if you talk to him, he said that we can fit pretty much the same as Croke Park, can fit maybe 60,000 to 70,000 people.
There's
a little bit of a disparity there between the Pomeroy lad and the lad from Longford, you know. But I know, seriously, we can accommodate somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 people, Adrian, here. Our parking lots have been expanded, our seating has been expanded, and hopefully we'll have the issue of too many people here on that weekend.
Yeah. Great. Finally, I wanted to ask you, for the benefit of those we haven't mentioned, you know, your location and the best way to get there. Who wants to take that one? Because that's very important.
Yeah, it's very easy. And I know when people give you directions, particularly in Ireland, they tell you that and you ended up in Knocknagashal and you have no idea where you're going.
Yeah.
But this is very easy. You take the Palisades Parkway and you get off at exit 6W. We're 1 mile from exit 6W. And the address is 160 Old Orangeburg Road, Orangeburg, New York.
It's Orangeburg, New York. And what is that 6W? What is it? Is that the exit? Is that what it's called, or does it give you?
Yeah, exit 6W on the Palisades Parkway.
Couldn't be easier.
And,
no,
yeah, and from there on, it'll be signposted. The facility will be signposted. There will be directional arrows from there on. Even for parking, there'll be direction arrows. But if anybody's using Google Maps,
yes,
best needles, the address is 160 Old Orangeburg Road, and that'll get you right into the middle of the field. And just, I know you're about to wrap up, Adrian, and we appreciate what yourself and Anya's time in this, and you've been very good to us. And we'd love to extend an invitation to you and your station to come up here, maybe on the Saturday, and again,
yeah,
you know, with all the All-Stars here.
Well, first of all, we'd love to, but actually we're going to be in Longford or Mayo. And I'll tell you, Emmett, if I get any resistance in Longford, I'll go up to Tyrone on my own. Get away from a lot of them, you know. We'd love to be there. Unfortunately, we're going to be in Ireland. But that wouldn't stop us, mind you, now, you know, from going up. We want to wish you really a lot of luck, not only luck with that, but continued success. And one thing we do know is that I'm sure, going back to, you know, the college of Inniscrown time, if anybody thought that as the decades go by, that you would have the success that you have and the recognition of a state-of-the-art facility, that would have been a long shot, and you've actually done it, and we are, you know, very proud of your success, and we would love to continue to support you now that you're, you know, now that you're becoming very significant. Geez, we were in there when you were only struggling. Now we can go and enjoy the fruits of a very successful thing, which is by no means finished. Because with the passage of time, the needs become, and apparently you guys have no, the sky is the limit, and that's, you know, normally used, you know, as a phrase, but you're living it out. You have no intention of pulling back or saying that's it.
No, it's full steam ahead here, Adrian. It really is. And the focus will always be on the kids and promoting our culture. That's what it's all about. Music, song, dance, Gaelic football, hurling and camogie. That's what we're focused on.
Congratulations. It's great. Okay, Paul Rowley, Longford, and of course, who's the treasurer, the money man, and Emmett Woods from Tyrone PR Development Officer. Emmett, I do want to share this one with you. We're going to play a Tyrone song, a village in County Tyrone, because, you know, you and I know this Longford stuff has gone a little bit too far. And
I'm very disappointed that Declan Nerney has not been aired here now.
Listen, if we had Declan Nerney one more time around here, somebody's going to throw a shoe at us. Okay. God bless. Thank
Adrian,
you. Good luck.
Adrian, one more thing before you go. The one thing I've got to mention, we also on our property, we erected a famine memorial in memory of all the people over the past, you know, in the times of the famine. And there's a beautiful monument here in Rockland, one of the finest monuments you'll see at the facility, and it's the Famine Memorial. So,
you know, I just saw a photograph for the first time this morning, and I think it's tremendous. I think it's great. It really is. And, again, it brings us back, you know, through where we all came from, and I think that is a tremendous, not only addition, but it goes... indeed, with the warm and cohesive and cultural, you know, aspects of what you do and continue to do. I'm looking forward to seeing that as well. Okay. Okay. August Duhane. All right, friends, there, Paul Rowley from Longford and Emmett Woods, and as I said to you, let's just play this tune. It's a village in County Tyrone. Irish Radio, irishradio.com. Interviews are always archived, irishradio.com.